It is lovely to be back with you. Thank you for telling your pastor positive things. High compliments. Yes, my sermon title is called Thanksgiving, A Time and Way to Remember. But I'm just going to confess right here and right now to you, I forget a lot. I forget where I put my keys, which means they're either exactly where they should be, and I have looked 29 other places, or they're still in the door. Please, like, slightly raise your hand if you've ever done that. Okay, thank you. I forget grocery lists that I work so hard on. I even, like, organize my grocery list kind of by aisle. I work hard, and then I forget them. My kids now just know to text me what they want, so they know that at least I'll come home with what they want rather than, like, the ingredients I need. I forget library books. Like, I'll check out 5 and I'll return 4, and so then I'll bring the 5th one late. And one time I told the librarian, but hey, I don't mind paying my fine because then I'm supporting the library. And just real calmly, she said, do you pay your taxes? And I said, of course I pay my taxes. She's like, well then, honey, you're already supporting us. I was like, oh, I should keep my money then. In my family, we celebrate half birthdays because, you know, why not? And this year I have forgotten every single one. And I have them written in my calendar. And it's a big deal because on half birthdays we go to Starbucks. I know. My 13-year-old felt the same way when I just totally forgot hers. I'm a huge reader, and I can't even tell you the plot of books or the names of major characters. I love to cook, and in my favorite recipes, I have forgotten ingredients. One time, probably the most important, I forgot where I was going. Let's do another little hand raise. Has anyone forgotten that? So I'm sure that a lot of you are like me, that sometimes we just drive to places, and you're like, oh, I don't even remember getting here. But there was this one time in particular that I totally forgot where I was going, and I lived in these townhomes, and there was a dumpster right across the parking lot, and I arrived at the dumpster, and as I was lifting up my load, I realized I had my laundry. I'm not gonna lie, that is the moment I knew I was pregnant with my second kid. There are things that I don't remember about my childhood, which is probably for the better. But I have this friend, Natalie, we met in 5th grade. She sat behind me in reading class. She was the new girl to school. And she would tell me the funniest stories, and she would make me laugh so hard I would get hiccups every day. Her mind is a steel trap. And because I grew up as an only child, my parents every once in a while let me invite a friend to places we would go, and she would always be my friend. And I can't tell you how many times recently I've called her up and I said, can you tell me about my birthday that we had in Florida? Because I don't really remember. And she tells me these things, I'm like, we did that? She could be making this up, you guys, and I have no idea. I like to think that my brain is just so full of all the wonderful things that I've learned and all the people I care about that I just can't remember about piddly things like my keys or grocery lists. But here's what I do remember. I remember how to differentiate calculus equations. Why? Why, of all things, do I remember how to do that? And what's the point? I mean, there are people who need to know that. I am not one. I remember from youth group that our scripture from Colossians today comes from the books that we like to call the General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I remember the order of the planets. My very educated mother just started using new plates, but then we got rid of Pluto. And so now she's just starting to use new or napkins. I don't know. I remember that my English professor in college didn't wear socks and shoes. I know, gross. I remember basically non-important things. I remember what I wore to my first date back in 1994. Why? I don't know. Inconsequential. But there are things that I do remember that are important, like the conversation I had with my dad one night in our kitchen. My mom was earning her master's degree in math education, and so my dad and I were having dinner, and this was back in the day when Cabbage Patch Kid dolls were really big. I had 8. But I grew up in Georgia, where they're from, and so like I went to Babyland General Hospital and saw them being born out of the cabbages. I got to name some. I had one that had red hair, and her name was Beth. My dad and I had this whole conversation about Christianity versus Cabbage Patch Kid dolls, which is super theological. I'm just going to let you know. Because if you remember, Cabbage Patch Kid dolls were signed by their creator, Xavier Roberts, right on the tush. And I told my dad that even though I didn't have God's signature on my rear end, I knew I was a creation of God. It was that very night over dinner that my dad and I had the discussion about choosing whether or not I wanted to choose Jesus to be my Savior forever. I remember hearing God for the first time. I was 33. It was a very dark time of my life. My husband had just left, and he left me with this insane amount of debt. And I was a church secretary at the time, and I'm sure that you don't do this to your secretary, but I was, like, hardly paid. And so I was really stressed out about money, and I was so consumed that I was physically ill. And I remember hearing God in my bedroom saying, "Is Joe your provider, or am I?" I remember that every month since then has been a financial struggle. I hope I never forget that this May, when I ended the month with $1.18 to my name, I hope I will never forget that I had enough. These are important things to remember. There are other things, of course, that I don't remember, like what I had for dinner last Tuesday. Couldn't tell you. But I bet, though, that if you and I sat down to have a conversation, we can remember Thanksgiving meals of years past, right? The family heritage, the traditional meals, the new recipes that you wanted to try. I remember a Thanksgiving that my parents and I had in New York City because my dad had a meeting and he took us. And we went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and had our Thanksgiving Day meal at the restaurant that is along the ice skating rink. And so we got to watch everyone skate while we ate. I remember all the Thanksgivings at my grandparents' house in Somerville, South Carolina, where my grandmother, who is 95, still lives in the same house by herself. Thanksgiving in the South means a lot of casseroles. And for my grandmother, canned Le Sueur peas. Now, friends, you cannot catch me eating a canned pea to save my life. But on Thanksgiving, you better believe I'm going to have the canned peas that come in the silver wrapper. Have you ever had a Le Sueur pea?
Yes.
They are so good. One year in Atlanta, my parents and I decided we would do something different because I was going to go to Thanksgiving with dinner with my boyfriend. And so we decided to try a new tradition of Thanksgiving brunch. A revelation. We had grits, as all good Southerners do, and biscuits and ham. That was a good Thanksgiving. Of course, there's that first Thanksgiving as a married person when you go to your in-laws and you just assume that it's going to be just like all the other Thanksgivings of your previous 25 years, and you realize when you get there that there are no sweet potatoes. And no cranberry sauce. What? Should have been my first indication, maybe, that it wouldn't work out. My favorite Thanksgiving, though, happened in the year 2000. I was a live-in nanny in a tiny town in Montana. I just go where the wind blows me, and I had always wanted to live in Montana ever since the movie Legends of the Fall. Do you remember this? It wasn't until later that I learned that Legends of the Fall, which is based in Montana, was really filmed in the Canadian Rockies. But that didn't matter. I was determined to get to Montana. So when this job opened up to be a live-in nanny, I just called them and I said, "You don't need to interview anyone else. I'm your girl." And so in June, I drove my Volvo from Atlanta to Montana. Now let me just tell you that a nose-pierced, head-shaved, Volvo-driving girl from the South is not necessarily the kind of people that this little town had. I was a fish out of water amongst these fly fishermen. It was a hard 6 months. But I learned to love these people, and I certainly think that they learned to love me, and so it was definitely different. But then Thanksgiving came, and the little boy I nannied for and his parents were going to go to Idaho to see her brother. And so that meant I was going to spend Thanksgiving alone. Now, the dad of the little boy also managed a fly fishing ranch that is world famous. And so people literally from all over the world would come in every week and stay at the ranch, and Chris would take them out fly fishing, and it was fabulous because they also had live-in chefs. It is good to work for people who have live-in chefs. And I thought that these people would go home because they were from Georgia and there weren't any guests at the ranch the week of Thanksgiving. And they decided, no, that they were going to stay at the ranch and fly one of their friends in and invited me to join them for Thanksgiving. Now, what is beautiful to remember about this is not the food cooked by professional chefs, which was amazing, and enough to feed an army, and there were only four of us. But the fact that these people invited me, a stranger, to be with them. The best part about this isn't all the food we had and the seconds and thirds of cake, but that we were together for 8 hours, sharing stories around the table and remembering past things. And even though I hadn't experienced what they had and they didn't know my stories, we all took time to remember and to share and laugh. In fact, I will never forget that their friend who came was telling us about how she had gotten in a car accident because she was distracted because these people were having their picture taken by a funeral parlor sign. And she just couldn't understand that. So she ran into the person in front of her. We had a big laugh over that. But the best part was the hospitality. Today's text is a way to remember, too. The writer of Colossians is writing to a new church in what is now modern-day Turkey. He's writing a prayer for their community and thanksgiving for their redemption in Christ. These people have come to a faith that is just newly formed, newly developed. This is, after all, like 60 years after Christ, well, about 30 years after Christ. So it's very new. He's written them to encourage them. Perhaps if you read it again, it will echo of current affairs in the United States. What I found was this one line in all the commentary that I read about this, and this one line stuck out. This writer is trying to remind them that we are not strong in ourselves, but only as children of God. Friends, I think that this is what I forget the most. What I forget the most is that it's not all about me. And I can't do it all by myself, but it is the fact that I need to remember day in, day out, moment by moment, that I am a child of God. And yes, individually we can do great things, but it is the children of God collected together as a church that can make real things happen. I hate that I forget this. I hate that as a pastor and a minister and a seminary student that I have to constantly rediscover this truth. Thanksgiving is both an act and a day, and there are ways to remember. I don't know if you know this, but I'm always fascinated when our national calendar and our Christian calendar kind of overlap, because today is the last Sunday of our Christian year. Today is the Reign of Christ Sunday, also known as Christ the King Sunday, and it's the last of our year. It represents a transition point in our calendar, a time when we look back to remember the events and lessons of this past year, a time to remember the victorious impact of the cross. Next Sunday, we start afresh with Advent as we await for the birth of our Savior, but today we get to remember the crucifixion. We get to remember that Christ is ruler not just of some, but ruler of all. Christ is ruler of all. I need to remember this too. If I imagine the meals that you will have this Thursday, or Tuesday, or Saturday, or whenever you choose to celebrate Thanksgiving, I imagine that you too will share stories of family memories, and other Thanksgivings. But it is my deep hope that you share memories of what Christ has done in your life this year. This is my first Thanksgiving I will ever cook myself. I'm not going to my grandmother's house in South Carolina, and my mom died a couple years ago, and my dad's remarried and now lives in Alabama, which I do not call home. Thank you. And my family in St. Louis, this year, they're actually will be in Mississippi, so I have nowhere to go. And I thought, okay, what do I do? And then I pulled out cookbooks and made up this menu, which I'm going to feed an army too, apparently, because I want to make two pies and all these other things. And you better believe that canned Lesueur peas will be on my menu. I also have a housemate. She rents out the basement of my house, and she and I are a seminary together, and she's from Michigan. So her singleness and my little broken family, we are going to have Thanksgiving together. And because I decided to cook for an army, I asked her, can we invite more people? She said, sure. So my friend Leah, who just moved last week and whose husband has to work from 10 to 10 on Thursday, she will be joining us. She has a brand new baby and a first grader, and her parents decided to come into town because, I don't know, because that's smart when she has her whole kitchen still in boxes. She's so thankful. I told her she can bring the rolls. So I'm excited that this Thanksgiving will be new and different. And hopefully it will remind me of my Thanksgiving in Montana when it was pretty much a stranger. Her parents are not known to me. But I guarantee that on Thursday night when we sit down for our meal, stories will be told. And in the telling, we remember. I imagine the writer of Colossians at a similar table, gathering around friends and strangers he doesn't know over whatever they were eating. And he says, I have something we should remember. And I imagine that the message went a little bit like this, where the writer of Colossians tells the people, be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works, We pray that you will live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard on his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives us. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for you. I imagine that he goes on after the next course and says to them, God rescued us from the dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of God. He loves so much the Son, who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Then he helps us remember when he says, we look at this Son and we see the God who cannot be seen. He helps us remember when he says to us, we look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He helps us remember when he tells us he was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. People and things, animals and atoms get properly fixed and fit in together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. This is what I need to remember, that we are not strong in ourselves, but only as children of God. I end with this litany. Very similar to Jesus's blessed be or blessed are, but I changed it a little bit. Thankful are those who remember the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Thankful are those who remember the single and the divorced and the lonely and the alone, for theirs is the people of God. Thankful are those who remember the new immigrants to the United States of America, this foreign and scary country, for theirs is the hope of God. Thankful are those who remember the scared, for theirs is the love and light of God. Thankful are those who remember those who seek peace, for theirs is the understanding of God. Thankful are those who remember to honor creation, for those are the ones who know God. Thankful are those who remember to encourage, for theirs are the words of God. Thankful are those who remember the sheep of God's pasture, for those are the fruitful and those who increase. Amen.